Today's daf is Chagiga Daf Chav Vav, and we are at the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of Daf Chav Hei Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned by Ilu Nishmas, Shlomo Ben Yabadol, Chaim Toivin, Reb Chaim Doiv. And as a Schus Refua Shalema, for Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Malka Miriam Bas Esther, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sarah Bas Yehudis Rechel, Elazel Lipa Shalom Ben Fager Rachel, Baruch Ben Rachel, Pinya Gittel Bas Rochel Shendel, Yitzchak Yosef Ben Esther, Naftali Ben Chana, Ezra Avram Ben Zahava Mariam Gittel, and Esther Kreindel Bas Devorah. Today's stuff's also being learned, Le'ilui Nishmas, Rivka Bas Yaakov Yosef, Mordechai Ben Reb David Tzvi, and Le'ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Mechel Ben Avram. So, we are continuing along with the Tumah V'Tahira Dafin, in the end of Mesechtes Chagiga, believe it or not, today's daf is the ninth consecutive daf that deals with the laws of Tumah V'Tahira. Feels like a long time since we were in the Pardes and since we were learning about Kol Mashiyoyim L'chav Balabayis Haseh Chutz Mitzeh, Elisha Baravua, all the sugyos of Aliyah L'Regel. But either way, this is the last full daf of Seder Moyed, and it's very much a continuation of the previous dafin, and that is discussing the laws of Tumah V'Tahira, specifically in the context of Truma and Kachem. So when we talk about Tumah V'Tahira, not all Tyrus were created equally. In fact, the Mishnah said on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis that there are five Madregas as it relates to laws pertaining to Tumah V'Tahira. Chulin, Maisa Sheni, Truma, Kachim, and even on top of Kachim is the Parah Aduma. The name of the parak is Chaymer B'Kaydesh, and the theme of the parak is comparing and contrasting Chumras in the world of Tumah V'Tahira between Kachim and Truma. The parak began with a long Mishnah that mentioned, depending on how you count, either 10 or 11 chumras that Kachim has over Truma as it relates to Tumah V'Tahira. Then we saw in yesterday's daf a Mishnah that mentioned the chumra that Truma has over Kachim. Today's daf is going to pick up on that note, and it's going to continue to discuss some chumras, albeit subtle chumras, that you find in the world of Tumah V'Tahira as it relates to Truma versus Kachim. So the one major Chumrah that you find in Tumah V'Tahira of Truma over Kachim, or maybe put more accurately, the one major Kula that you find in the world of Tumah V'Tahira as it relates to Kachim, is that even though Ami Ha'aretz were Becheskas Tmeim, and Ami Ha'aretz were Becheskas Chashudim as it relates to Tumah V'Tahira, but when it came to Kachim, if an Ami Ha'aretz would say that this item is tar, we would trust the Ami Ha'aretz. It's extremely counterintuitive, because we know that Ami Ha'aretz is Chashud on Tyrus, we know that Kachim is so Chamor to bring a Dover Tomei into the Beis HaMikdash is getting involved in the world of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, which is an area that's from the most Chamor in the Torah. Stating that, we trusted the Ami Ha'aretz when it comes to Tumah V'Tahira in the context of Kachim. That's a phenomenal Kula. Today's daf is going to pick up a little bit on that note. Zok the Mishnah. Min HaMoidiyim V'Lifnim. So, before we even start, what exactly is Maidim? So Rashi says, Maidim was the name of a city that was 15 mil away from Yerushalayim. So essentially what the Mishnah is saying is that if somebody's within a perimeter of 15 mil from Yerushalayim, and by the way, Maidim is Lav Dafka, so it doesn't have to be necessarily 15 mil in the direction of Maidim, but really any direction, 15 mil from Yerushalayim, the halach is as follows. Namonim al kli cheres. And Ami Ha'aretz is going to be believed to say that a kli cheres, an earthenware keli, is tahar. Min amidiyim v'lechotz. However, if the Ami Ha'aretz is on the wrong side of Maidim, meaning he's further away from Yerushalayim, einemonim, then the Ami Ha'aretz is not going to be believed. So, the Mishnah case. So let's play this out in a real case. Hakador, if there was an Ami Ha'aretz that used to sell earthenware kelim, shehu meicher akderes, he used to sell these kelim, nichnas lefinim ben Amidim, if he's within the perimeter of Maidim, who, hakador, if He himself is the one that actually created. He's the potter. He's the one that made these kelim. Vehin ha-kederos, and these are his kederos. Vehin ha-loikhim, Rashi says that the person that's buying from the kader saw the kader enter this area. The halacha is neman, the ama'aretz is going to be believed. Yotze, however, if he leaves outside the perimeter of 15 mil surrounding Yerushalayim, ain't a neman, at that point, he's not going to be believed. So essentially, the Mishnah is saying another very, very big chiddush. And really, it's Iker Chosim and Asefer. But what the Mishnah means is that this Chiddush is true only as it relates to Kodesh. And that is, that even though ordinarily we don't trust the Amma Aretz when it comes to Tumah V'Tahira, however, if we're dealing with Kalim that are being used for Kodesh, and the Kalim were Kli Cheres, and the Amma Aretz is within 15 mil from Yerushalayim, so then the halacha is, we are going to trust the Amma Aretz. The question is why? And it sounds like this halacha is only true for earthenware kelim. It's true for Kli Cheres. So what's so special about Kli Cheres that all of a sudden now we're going to trust the Amma Aretz? Now the truth is Kli Cheres has a very special place in the world of Tumah V'Tahira, but that has nothing to do with this halacha. The reason we trust the Amma Aretz when it comes to Kli Cheres is because there was a halacha that one was not allowed to fashion a Kli Cheres in Yerushalayim. It was one of the takanas of Ezra that in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to make Kli Cheres. So if you can't make a Kli Cheres in Yerushalayim, it meant that earthenware kelim were hard to come by in Yerushalayim. Because in Yerushalayim itself, there was no manufacturing. Everything had to be imported. Everything had to be taken from the outside. And Kli Cheres were things that people used to use every single day. So being that Kli Cheres were things that were always used, and in Yerushalayim, they were hard to come by. So Chazal said that even though we're machmer, we don't trust the Amma Aretz, but in Goizrin Gzeira, we're going to trust the Amma Aretz, and if he tells you that it's tar, we're going to accept what he says, and it's going to be considered tar. So the Mishnah said, if you're from the inside of Maidim, we trust the Amma Aretz when it comes to Kli Cheres. We learned to the Braisa, so Maidim itself. Meaning, what about the city of Maidim? The Mishnah said, which sounds a little bit like you're within Maidim. What about the physical city of Maidim? Sometimes it's going to be treated like the inside of Maidim, meaning we're going to trust Amma Aretz. And Pa'amim Kilichot, sometimes it's going to be treated like the outside of Maidim, like being on the wrong side of it, where we're not going to trust Amma Aretz. Keitza, Dr. Bryce, what does this mean? Kader Yoitze, the Chaver Nichnas. What would be if you had a Kader? He's leaving the area that's within the perimeter of Maidim. And now he's in Maidim, but he's on his way out. He's heading towards the Galil. He was Yoitze, and there was a Chaver that was Nichnas. There was a Choshev Yid that's very Nizr in Tumah V'Tahira, and he's coming from the Galil, and he's about to enter Yerushalayim, and he's going through Maidim, and they meet. So the halacha is, if they would meet in that place, so then the halacha is kilifnim. We would treat Maidim as if it's lifnim, as if it's within Maidim. We would trust the Amma Aretz, and we would allow the Chaver to buy from the Amma Aretz. And the reason is, says Rashi, because this is his opportunity to buy. If he doesn't buy now, then he's not going to have an opportunity. Last line, when exactly is he going to buy? So this is his opportunity. Meaning, they're going in opposite directions. The Amma Aretz is traveling away from Yerushalayim. He's traveling towards Yerushalayim. He's going to need Kli Cheres. He just met this yid inside Maidim. So we have no choice. We have to allow him to buy it. However, Shneim Nichnasim, what if they're both entering Maidim together? And they're going towards Yerushalayim, or they're both leaving together, then we would treat Maidim itself as if it's the outside. Meaning, if they're both in Maidim, but they're on their way getting closer to Yerushalayim. So there's no reason for them to have to transact in Maidim. You might as well wait till you get a little bit closer. When you get closer, that's when you'll buy it. Or if they're both heading out, there too, we're not going to trust them. The reason is, because if they were both together within the perimeter of Maidim, why did they wait until Maidim to work this out? They should have figured it out when they were a little bit closer. So in those cases, it's going to be Kilichutz. So the bottom line is, Maidim itself, do we look at it as Kilifnim? Do we look at it as Kilichutz? Zok de Braisa? Depends. Pa'amim Kilifnim, Pa'amim Kilichutz, what does it depend on? The Braisa said what it depends on. This was a Braisa, meaning from the Mishnah itself, it wasn't clear. In the Braisa, it was very, very clear, which is not shocking because that's something you find all the time. The Mishnah was written by Losh and Kitzar, and very often the Braisa adds very pertinent information to the narrative that wasn't Mefurish in the Mishnah. Abaya said that even though this halacha was not Mefurish in the Mishnah, and we had to come on to the Braisa to know this, but Afanan Amitanino, a diuk in the Mishnah I do have, meaning it's Meduyuk in the Mishnah. It's not Mefurish, but Meduyik it is. How so? Mishnah said, Akadah Shemachar Sakteiros. Akadah was selling Kteiros. V'nichnas lefnim and Amidim. And he entered the area that's inside of Amidim. Meaning he's not in Amidim, he's inside Amidim. What did the Mishnah say? We trust Amaretz. Zokta by a time, Meduyik lefnim and Amidim. It sounds like the only reason Amaretz is believed is because he's within Maidim, ha Maidim Gufa. But if Tamaret would be in the city of Maidim, like Mehemin, he wouldn't be believed. Ema Seifa. But Abai said, look at the Seifa. The Seifa said, Yatza. What does Yatza mean? If he left Maidim, Einoi Neman, he's not believed. Ha Maidim Gufa Neman. It's Mashman, then if he would be Maidim, he would be believed. So Abai said, what's going on over here? The Fnimen Maidim sounds like he's only believed if he's inside Maidim, he's not believed in Maidim. Yatza Men Maidim, not believed, sounds like he's only not believed if he's outside Maidim. But if he's in Maidim, he is believed. So what's the Aloch of Maidim? Must be that the two diyukim are referring to two different cases. Where the kadas yoytze and the chavers nichnas, that's the case where we said it's going to be kilufnim dami. Where it's shneim yoytze and shneim nichnasim, then it's going to be kiluchutz dami, which is exactly what the Braisa said. Shmami no said Abaya, that even though in the Mishnah it's not mefurish what the Braisa said, that's for sure, but at the same time, it is very much meduyik what the Braisa said. The Braisa said that as it relates to the actual physical city of Maidim, pa'amim kilufnim, pa'amim kiluchutz. In the Mishnah, Zokdabai, it's Mashma that way as well. Because it's conflicting the Yukim in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the Lefnim of Maidim and the Lechutz of Maidim. It's not talking about the actual city of Maidim. Obviously, the actual city of Maidim is sometimes going to be Kelefnim and sometimes going to be Kelechutz. What does it depend on? Probably what the Braisa said. And therefore, Zokdabai, Afananami Tanino, to what the Mishnah said. Zokta Gemara, another Braisa that qualifies the law of the Mishnah. Tano, ne'monim b'kli cheres hadakin l'kodesh. The Mishnah that says that we trust the Amoritz when it comes to kli cheres, if he's in the perimeter of 15 mil from Yerushalayim, the perimeter of Maidim, it's only true if it's kli cheres hadakin, if it's small kli cheres. However, if it's going to be larger kli cheres, then we're not going to trust Amaretz. It's a very important qualification to the law of the Mishnah. Mishnah just said, Menamidim Lefnim Namanam Al Klicheres. It didn't say big Kalim, small Kalim. Kumtz again, the Braisa, and the Braisa adds information, and the Braisa says it's only Klicheres Hadakin. It's only going to be small Kalim. Now, what's the reason for this? The reason is because the only reason that Chazal were Mekel and said trust Amaretz with Klicheres is because Klicheres were often used. And because they were often used, so people need them. So, Ein Geizrin Zera Latibach, Ein Rev Atibach Yachal Amad, but it's for that reason. And we say we're going to trust Amaretz. The kalim that were often used are the smaller kalim, cups, plates, knives, spoons. That most things were made of kli cheres once upon a time. So you have to be mekel a little bit because otherwise it's going to be impossible. But the larger kalim, it's not muchach, and it's for that reason Chazal didn't trust Amaretz for the larger kalim. Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish says, what does it mean a small kalim? Meaning, what's the definition of big and small? It has to be so small that you can lift it with one hand. Rabbi Yochanan said, afilu she'eni talim b'yada achas. No, even if it's not that small, but it could be still would be considered small. Another halacha, Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said, Loishan, well, Rekon. The only time we say that the klicheres are going to be considered tar, if Tama or it says it's tar, that's if they were empty. Avon Malayim Loi. But if they're full, they're not. Meaning, let's say you have mashkin, Rashi says. So let's say the klicheres is filled with some sort of mashka, being that the mashka of Tama or it is for sure tarmi, or we assume it is, and he has no namanis regarding the mashkin. So if the mashkin is going to be perceived as being tummy, then the cup also has to be perceived as being tummy. So Reish Lakish said, even though there's a special chiddush when it comes to klicheres, it's only for the actual keli, it's not for the mashka. And once the mashka is inside the keli, so now we don't trust Amaretz for the mashka, we're not going to trust them for the keli either. Rabbi Yechon argued, he said, afilu melein. No, even if it's filled with mashkin, va'afilu afikro susoy, even if his beged is inside. What's the chiddush of even his beged? The beged of an Amaretz isn't just tummy. It's an avatumma. It's tummy tumas medris. So even if there's a tumas medris that's inside, afal piken, that's going to be the loch. Oh my, Rava said, Rabbi Yochanan's moida b'mashkin atzman shehin tmeim. Meaning, even though Rabbi Yochanan said that we trust nama aretz, that the klicheres is going to be tar, even if it's filled, all he meant to say was is that we're going to trust that the klicheres is tar. But avadik this, the context of the klicheres are going to be tar. Meaning, everybody agrees the mashkin and the beged of the ama aretz that's inside the klicheres is going to be a problem. The machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is what beer does that have on the actual klicheres? According to Reish Lakish, well, if you can't trust them regarding what's in the klicheres, then how could you trust them regarding the klicheres? The two are bound by the hip. The tali zavazet. Can't be that one is tummy and one is tar. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I can bifurcate them. I can say that what's inside the keli is going to be tameh, but the keli itself is going to be tar. But that's poshit, said Rabbi Yochanan, that what's inside the keli is going to be tameh. And then Rabbi Yochanan said, "V'alta tameh." You're probably wondering. You're going to roll your eyes. You're going to say, "What?" So the keli is tar, but what's in the keli is tameh. Is the chastira. How's that possible? It's like Rabbi Yochanan, because you have precedent for this. Where was this precedent? On Daf Chav Beis, something we spent a lot of time on. Sha'rei Login Mole Mashkin. If somebody has a container that's filled with Mashkin, the Loch is Login Tmeim Tumashiva. The Login is going to be Tomei Tumashiva, Umashkin Tahirin. And yet the Mashkin is going to be Tahirin. Now what's this referring to? This is referring to a case where there's a mace inside a bias. And this is a two-story house. The mace is on the main floor. And on the top floor, there was a Login. There was this big container, Mole Mashkin, that was filled with Mashka. Now there was an Aruba, there was a window that separated the first floor and the second floor. That Aruba was sealed off with a klicheres. Klicheres, that summit puzzle, is matzel mepnei atoma. The specific line is describing Shitas Beis Shammai, who held that this, that a klicheres is matzel mepnei atoma, it's only matzel from Oichlin, Mashkin, and Klicheres. However, all other Kalim, it's not going to be Matzel, which means that according to Beis Shammai, there's a Metzias where you could have Login Mole Mashkin, where the Login itself, the actual container, is going to be Tomei, because the Klicheres is not Matzel according to Beis Shammai on the Kalim. Aber the Mashkin is going to be Tahirim, because Beis Shammai Shita is that the Klicheres is Matzel Mepnei Mashkin. Now, what's Pshat in Beis Shammai? So that was the whole Rabbi Yeshua, Bishni Midivreichan Beis Shammai, where Rabbi Yeshua seemed to have maybe come around a little bit and was a little apologetic towards Shitas Beis Shammai at the end of that story. But the bottom line is that you see a precedent for this Zakrab Yechanan, that you can have the Login, which is going to be Tameh, and the Mashkin is going to be Tar. So just because one is within the other doesn't necessarily mean that their Tumah V'Tahira fate is Talui Zeh B'Zeh. So says Rabbi Yochanan, in that same vein, the halach is that we trust the Amaretz regarding the Klicheres, even if the Klicheres is Mole Mashkin, even though the Mashkin itself is going to be Tameh, but as it relates to the Klicheres itself, it's going to be Tar. So this concludes the very, very first part of the Daf, which discussed another tremendous kula in the laws of Tumah V'Tahira. And again, specifically regarding Kodesh, that's the Ikur Chaser of this sugya. Specifically regarding Kodesh, and that is, we trust the Amaretz to say that Kli Cheres are Tahar within 15 mil of Yerushalayim as it relates to Kli Cheres. That's the Halacha. The Brice, the Gemara brought two Brices, both that were very, very important in terms of qualifying this din. Number one, what's the status of Maidim itself? The Mishnah said you're within Maidim, you're outside Maidim. What about Maidim? The shorter answer is Pamim Kilifnim, Pamim Kilichutz. The second Braisa is that this halacha, this kula, was only said with regards to Klicheres Hadak. It was only said with regards to small Kalim. However, with regards to larger Kalim, you're not going to have this halacha. So the Mishnah Vaita, HaGaboim, Shenichnas Ulte Chabayis. What would be if Gaboim entered a person's house? So these Gaboim worked for the government. And this is old school. They would literally walk into people's houses, they would start confiscating properties in the event that they felt that someone didn't pay his taxes or didn't do something that he was supposed to do. Or a good old-fashioned Fleishig Ganef, he walked into somebody's house. So they went and they took Kalim and then they returned the Kalim. Sokta Mishnah, shocking. They're believed to say that they never touched these Kalim. The halacha is that they're believed to say when they return the kelim, we never touch it. See, here we have people that literally walk in, they barge into somebody's house, and they start taking things out. And then they bring it back 3 days later. And they say, I want you to know, we didn't touch it. The halacha is their belief. And again, here too, Rashi says, what does it mean they're believed? It means for Kodesh, this is another kula that you have in the laws of Tumah V'Tahira for Kodesh, that we're going to trust these people. Another halacha is like the Mishnah, Ubi Yerushalayim Nemonim Ala Kodesh. In Yerushalayim, they're believed even on Kodesh. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Ubishas HaRegel Af Ala Truma. And during Yontif time, they're believed even for Truma, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. But first, the Reisha of the Mishnah. Reisha of the Mishnah discuss another kula that you have in the world of Tumah V'Tahira as it relates to Kodesh. Gaboim or Ganovim entered a person's house. They took Kalim. And then they returned it. They believed to say, Loi no Gano. We never touched it. Everything is fine. Meaning, there's no problem of Tumah. Faith the Gemara is that true for Mini. I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah, Mesachtes Tyrus, HaGaboim, Shenichzul Teichabayis. If Gaboim, these people that work for the government, they enter a person's house, Habayis Kulei Tomei, the Loch is the entire house is considered to be Tomei. Why? Because there's a Chazaka that they must have touched everything, and as a result, everything is going to be Tomei. So there's a flat out steer. Our Mishnah says, the Gaboim entered the house, it's fine. Meaning it's not going to be a problem. And here we have a Mishnah that says, Hagabam shenichnasu l'teich habayis kulei tame. So is it fine or is it kulei tame? It depends. When the Gabam entered, did they enter together with a Nachri or did they not enter together with a Nachri? So the Gemara, what does this mean? The Tanan, it's a Mishnah. If they enter together with a Nachri, so the belief to say that we didn't enter a certain we didn't enter the house, but then not belief to say that we didn't touch. So if the Gabam entered without a Nachri, then the belief to say Loi Nagano. And that's what our Mishnah says. If, however, they entered with a Nachri, then not belief to say Loi Nagano. So what it depends on is whether these Gabayim, who are Yidin, did they enter with a Nachri or did they not enter with a Nachri? So the Gemara says, what is entering with a Nachri have to do with anything? Meaning, why would that be the difference? So the Gemara was a Machlikis Ameiron, Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Loza. Chadamon once said, Eimas Nachri Aleya. The reason is because this Yid is going to be afraid of the Nachri. He's going to be afraid that the Nachri might do something to him if he doesn't go ahead and touch everything. Meaning, he's a Yid at the end of the day, and he's going to be sensitive to his brethren, and he's not going to want to just go ahead and be metame everything and touch everything. So he has an amonis to say, Loi Nagano, I didn't touch it. But if there's a Nachri there, now he's afraid. Who knows what the Nachri might do to him? And it's for that reason he's going to touch everything, and that's when he's not believing. Chadam, the other one said, it's not Emas Nachri Aleim, but Emas Malchus Aleim. He's afraid that the Nachri is going to go and rat him out. That's what he's worried about. That he's going to go to the Malchus, and he's going to say, you know, I walked into a house with this Gabbai, and he was being partial to his brother, and as a result, he didn't want to go ahead and touch everything. Regardless, either it's Emas Nachri or Emas Malchus. Might be Nayu. If there was a machloikis, there must be an afkamina. It could be now. There is an afkamina. Nachri she'enei chashav. What would be if the Nachri himself is not chashav? If it's emas Nachri, so this Nachri is not worried about because he's not chashav. He can't do anything to him. If it's emas Malchus, he's afraid that the Nachri may go and tell something to the Malchus, and then it doesn't matter if he's chashav or not. At the end of the day, he can always be a person that's going to notify the Malchus, and as a result, the ema is still going to be there. V'china ganovim shehechziru. So again, the Mishnah said, "Hagabam shenichnasu l'teich habayis nemanim loy maloy nagano." V'chein haganovim, a ganiv shehichziru esakelim, who stole something and now he returns it, he too is believed to say loy nagano. Faith the Gemara v'mini, is that true? A ganiv is believed to say he didn't touch haganovim shenichnasu l'teich habayis. The Mishnah says, if a ganiv enters a house, inay tomei dalach is the house is not tomei elamakim drisus ragla haganovim, only the place where the ganovim walk. But what do you see from here? Wherever the ganovim walk is considered tomei. So our Mishnah says a ganiv takes something, he brings it back, he's believed to say it's tar. And then we have a Mishnah that says that a ganav pasha walks through the house, just from tracking through the house. Wherever he went, Makam Drisas, Ragle Aganovim is automatically going to be Tomei. Stachastira Amra Pinchas, Bishmei the Rav, Pinchas said in the name of Rav, Kisha Asu Tshuva. No, it's very different. You know what the difference is? When a ganav walks through a person's house, yeah, we don't trust him. He's a ganav right now. Why would we trust him? The ganav in our Mishnah is doing tshuva. Because the ganav in our Mishnah, he returned the gzela. He's been mekayim veheshev es gzela asher gazal. So clearly, he's in the act of doing tshuva. Being that he's in the act of doing tshuva, therefore we trust him. Dekonami, it's mefurish in the Mishnah. Dekonami, what did the Mishnah say? It says, v'chein haganavim shehechziru es hakelim. It doesn't say, v'chein haganavim. We order a belief to say loy nagano. It's not true. Ganavim are not believed to say loy nagano. Ganavim shehechziru es hakelim nemanim loy ma loy nagano. Oh, because now the Ganav is doing tshuva. He's doing tshuva. It's for that reason we are going to believe him. Going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ubi Yerushalayim nemanim ala kodesh. And Yerushalayim, they're believed on kodesh. Who's they and what exactly are we referring to? So this is a very important braisa that clarifies the law of the Mishnah. I mean, this is a Mishnah that was written b'loshin k'tzarish abiktzarish. It's impossible to know what the Mishnah even means. But the braisa is mefurish. Tano nemanim al klicheres gasin l'kodesh. This line of the Mishnah is actually referring back to the previous Mishnah, the first Mishnah that we began the daf with. The Mishnah that said that min amidim v'lefnim, we trust namarits regarding klicheres v'kodesh. But the Braisa had clarified that it's only true for klicheres hadakin, it's only true for small klicheres. Kumt again, the next Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, that's true. Within 15 mil, we only trust the amarits for the klicheres hadakin. However, if you're in Yerushalayim Mamish, there we would trust the Amaretz, even if for the Klicheres Agasin, even for the larger Klicheres. V'kol kach lama, why isn't it that there's a special kula when it comes to Klicheres? Shein oisin kifshoinis b'Yerushalayim, because you weren't allowed to make kifshoinis in Yerushalayim, you weren't allowed to make the ovens that would allow you to make the Klicheres, which meant that you couldn't make Klicheres in Yerushalayim, and being that you couldn't make Klicheres in Yerushalayim, they were harder to come by, and therefore there were special kulas, specifically as it relates to Kodesh. And finally, the Mishnah said, ubeshas haregel, when it comes to yontif afala truma, then the halach is that the amei aretz are believed even for truma. So on yontif time, an amei aretz is believed to say he's tahar, even as it relates to truma. Zok to gemara manani mili. What's the makar to this? Am Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that my karts learned out from the following pasuk. It's a pasuk in Shoiftim Perek Chaf. Vayyosef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ki ish echad. Now the context over there is, this happened right after the Maisa of Pelegish Begiva. And there was a big tumult, and all the Yidden got together, and they weren't sure how to handle the situation. Ayin Sham, not for now. So everybody comes together, and the Pasuk says they all gathered, they were Ki'ish Echad, they were Chaver. Now Pasuk Chaver means that they all came for a single-minded purpose. They came to figure out. There was a big gathering, and we have to decide how we're going to deal with this. Abizak the Gemara, Adrasha. That you see from here, that when it's Vayyasev Kol Ish Yisrael El Ha'ir, when everybody comes together, Hakosav Asan Kulon Chaverim. It's a play on words. Everyone's considered a Chaver. And just like a Chaver is believed when it comes to Inyanim of Tumah V'Tahira, so too we believe the Amaretz as it relates to the laws of Tumah V'Tahira. So there's a special Kula in the world of Tumah V'Tahira when it comes to Yontif. Now, when we started this sugya 9 dafin ago, we said that at the very, very, very end of this sugya, we're going to figure out why it is we're learning this. Meaning, we've been learning Seder Mayer, things have been going, you know, quite smoothly, and then all of a sudden, literally at the end, we're mamish at the precipice of Yevamos Daf Beis and of Hadron Halach Seder Mayer, the Hadron Chalon, all of a sudden we encounter 9 blad of Tumah V'Tahira with more to come. And the question is why? Why are we learning this? The short answer is because there's a sif cut in the world of Tumah V'Tahira, specifically the sugis of Tumah V'Tahira that we've been learning that's unique to Regel. And as a result, apparently we saved the best for the last, but at the end of Seder Mayid, we have to say over this halacha, which is Negei Mayid. It's Negei Yontif. What's the halacha? This halacha that we just said. This is the halacha. That even though the Amaretz is always chashed when it comes to Tumah V'Tahira, but Bishas HaRegel, when it comes to Yontif, HaKosav Ason, Kulon Chaverim. Everybody's considered Chaverim. Everybody is believed. So on that note, HaPesech is Chavisa, Zok to Mishnah Vayit. If somebody opens up his Chavis, it was Yontif. That Maschel B'Sasai, or somebody had dough, and he was selling it. Al-Gav HaRegel, it was during Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Yigmar, you're allowed to continue selling it after Yontif. Chom said, lo Yigmar, you're not allowed to continue selling it after Yontif. Meaning, a person has a chavis, and inside the chavis, he has wine. And he was a chaver, and he was selling it to the Yidden, let's say that were Oyler Ragdol. And a lot of these people were Amei Haaretz. Now, the Am Aretz would come, and he would look at the schayra that he's selling. They'd pick it up, they'd put it down. I like this one, I like that one better. They're being metamet. They're all becheskes ta'an. Oh, but it's Yontif. Hakasiv Asan Kulin Chaverim. Everybody's a chaver, and as a result, they don't have the ability to be matam. So on Yontif, all is good. It's Xeris Hakasiv. It's literally learned out from a pasuk. It's Divrei Kabbalah. It's a pasuk in Shoiftim Perek Chaf. But now it's not Yontif anymore. So what happens now? Do we say, Lamafreya, everything is going to be Tameh? Or no, that being that Peshas, when it was touched, it wasn't a problem. So even though now it's not Yontif anymore, it's still going to be okay. Machloik is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yigmar, finish. Because being that you started on Yontif, and on Yontif, the Tumah wasn't Chal, so now after Yontif, the Tumah is not either going to be Chal. Even though this whole Kula was for Yontif, but at the end of the day, when the Amaretz touched it, Tumah didn't happen because of the special Gzeres HaKosev of HaKosev Ason Kulan Chaverim. So if on Yontif itself, nothing happened, so then after Yontif, it's going to be fine as well. Chomer say, no, on Yontif itself, it's Beseidah, but not Yontif, it's already going to be a problem. Zok Tigmar, Yosef Rab Ami Rab Yitzchak Nafcha. Rab Ami Rab Yitzchak Yafcha was sitting, Akilad Rab Yitzchak Nafcha, on the porch of Rab Yitzchak Nafcha. And they're sitting together, Posachad V'Amar, one of them, started to talk. And he said the following, what's the halacha? According to the Chacham, that if someone's Pesach Chavisei on Yontif, the Amaretz touched it, you can't sell it after Yontif. After Yontif, it's already Tameh. After Yontif, you have problems. The question is, could he push it off now? Can he save it for the following Yontif? And treat it the following Yontif as if it's Torah or not? Amale idoch. So the other one said, okay, we don't know who said to who. It was Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, one of them, began the conversation, the other one's responding. So Idach, the other one said, Yada kom mashbishumba, that amri anichenu l'regel achar. How could you do that? It's Tomei. Once it's tame, it's going to be a problem. What is waiting for the next yontif going to help? Amalei told him, what do you mean? Otu adho this yontif also, everybody was touching it. And Alpha came on yontif, we said it's tar, so I have a havamino. That maybe next yontif, it's fighting to be tar. Amalei told him back, achi hashle bishleim adho idno tumasam aritz berego rachmano taro. Now bishleim, this yontif, when the amaritz touched it, there's a xeris hakasif that says that the tum of an amaritz on Yontif, Hakosov, Asan, Kul, and Chaverim is considered tar. So therefore, on Yontif, it wasn't a problem. Ela hashta tmei. But once Yontif passes, it becomes tamei l'mafreya, and it becomes tamei l'mafreya, by the next Yontif, it's not going to be okay. So there was a shaklevataria, pretty straightforward shaklevataria. When the Amaritz touched it on Yontif, according to the Chachamim, after Yontif, it's a problem. And what about the following Yontif? Is it going to be good or is it not going to be good? And it sounds like it's a little bit of a lumdish shayla. It sounds like the shayla is, do you say that when the Amaritz touched it on Yontif, HaKosav Asan Kulan Chaverim means that there was never Chal any Tumah? So if there was never Chal any Tumah for Yontif, so then by the next Yontif, there also won't be any Chaloyz Tumah. Or do you say, no, that being that even though at the time it wasn't Chal Tumah, but the Chachamim hold that after Yontif, it does become Tameh. So it's Gloy Milsal and Afreya that really it was Chal Tumah. So now what you want should happen is that by the next Yontif, somehow the Tumah should go away. That it can't do. Yontif could prevent Tumah from being Chal, but Yontif can't make Tumah go away. Either way, something to think about. This was the machloikis. Zok the Gemara, name it Tanoi. L'chur would seem to be a machloikis Tanoi. Where the Tani, Chad, we went to the Braisa, Yanichen al-Regalach. Oh, Mefurish. There's a Braisa that says that if someone's Peseh Chavisoi, he's Maschel B'Yisosoi, so what should he do? He has any leftovers, wait for the following Yontif. Tani, another Braisa says, Loi Yanichen al-Regalachar. You're not allowed to leave it. My love, Tanoi, oh, it's Mefurish. L'chur, both Tanoi are going according to the Chachamim. That really, after Yontif, you can't use it. The Shaila is, can I wait for the another Yontif? Can I not wait for the next Yontif? Isn't it a this price that says wait until the next Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda. It's referring to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that said Yigmar, that if you opened it on Yontif, you let it finish it after Yontif. And the price that says Yinalaru is from Rabbanan that's going according to Rabbanan. How could you tell me the price that says wait until the next Yontif is Rabbi Yehuda? What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Mishnah? For Rabbi Yehuda, Yigmar come. Rabbi Yehuda said finish it. He didn't say wait. He said finish it. So obviously that price is not going according to Rabbi Yehuda. El Yigmar says just the opposite. Hadik Tani Loyanichen. The price that says Rabbi Yehuda. That's referring to Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa that says don't wait is from Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa that says wait is Rabbanan. Now you'll tell me, according to Rabbi Yehuda, don't wait. I'm allowed to use it now. Why are we even talking about waiting? You know what Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said lo yanichenu? You don't have to wait because really you're allowed to use it right away. Bottom line is we had a steer between two braises. What happens if someone's peseach avisoy and now it's not yontif? Wait to the next yontif. Not wait to the next yontif. One braise says yanichenu. Another braise said lo yanichenu. At first glance, it sounds like maybe this is mamish the shaila the Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha were discussing akilo the Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. This question of how exactly it works when we say that there's no tumas amaretz on yontif, but the bottom line is the Gemara says not muchach. That's what the shayil is. Could not much the shayil is? Could we wait? Could we not wait? Because could be really the machloikis is the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, which is already an old machloikis. It's a mafurish a mishnah. The man number that says lo yanichen is Rabbi Yehuda. He's saying you don't have to wait. And faker the Chachamim mod yanichen is zicher. If you want, you're allowed to leave it for the next yontif because really everyone's going to hold that it's okay until the next yontif. Zok the mishnah weiter. Misha over a regel. So now we're going to talk a little bit about yontif. Once Yontif passed, and all the Ami Yaretz used to be Oilu Regal, right? Everybody was Oilu Regal. Noshim HaNoshim V'taf included Chaverim and Ami Yaretz, right? Everybody used to come. So the Yidden are in the Beis HaMikdash, and they're Tameh, because that's usually the way the Ami Yaretz are treated. Obron Yontif, HaKosav HaSon Kul and Chaverim. Then we look at them really as being taught. But Lamais, they spent time in the Azara, and they must have touched things. And as a result, Chachamim, after Yontif said, we have to purify the Azara. Says the Mishnah, once Yontif passes, Mavir not Tyrus Azara. They used to go clean out the Azara. Over HaRegel, Liyam Shishi. What happens if Yontif ends, Leil Shishi, meaning the last day of Yontif is Thursday. So then the halacha is, they covered Shabbos. They didn't spend Friday cleaning the Azara, they would push it over until after Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, Afloy B'yayim He, that even if the last day of Yontif was Wednesday, on Thursday, they wouldn't be Matar Dazar, they'd wait until after Shabbos, Shina Kehanim Pnuim, because Kehanim were busy. They were busy on Thursday. So, Kimar Tana, Bryce, so what were they busy with? Shina Kehanim Pnuim, Lohitzi B'dashim, because they were very busy being Moitzi all the Dashim. We know there were a lot of Karbanos that were brought on Yontif. Think about all the Karbanos we learned about in the beginning of the Masechta. The Ilasriya, and the Shalmei Chagiga, and the Shalmei Simcha, and Elud Varm Shenglem Shir, Hare Oyoin, so there are many, many karbanas that are being brought. And all the ashes of these karbanas that were burnt on the Mizbeach were left in the middle of the Mizbeach. It was on the Tapuach. And then at some point, everything would be cleaned out. And they would clean it out after Yontif. On Yontif itself, they would leave it there. Zeu Kvoida Vahadara. But after Yontif, they would clean it. So the day after Yontif was a very busy day in the Beis HaMikdash. They're very busy taking all the Deshen from the Mizbeach and removing it outside of the Azara. So being that they're so busy with that, they didn't have time to be Matayr the Azara. So even though it's true they had to be Matayr the Azara from all the Amei Aretz that had come into the Azara and they had touched around, but at the same time they waited until after Yontif. Okay, so we know that the Amei Aretz, they were allowed into the Azara, special Chidushim on Yontif. We also know that once Yontif passes, Chazal felt that we're going to have to clean up. Now the question is, how did they actually clean? They used to be toivel the kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So all the kelim they would literally take and they'd be toivel it. Herif Shemesh, the way you do an ordinary tefillah. And they would tell the Amei Aretz, Hizaru, be careful, shalai tigu b'shulchan. There's one keli I don't want you to touch. Be careful, stay away from it, and that's the shulchan. We'll see why in the Gemara. All the kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash, they were doubles and triples. Why? Shem nitmo harishayim, just in case the original one became tami. Like this is going to be a backup. So there was a backup, and then there was a backup to the backup. There were always extras in case it was necessary. All the kelim that were in the Beis became tummy, they needed tefillah. With the exception of the two mizbechos, the mizbech hazom and the mizbech hanachoshes, the bnei shen kekarkas, because they had a din of karka. Karka is not mekabel tumo, and therefore it was never necessary to be toifel them. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, azoi halt Rabbi Eliezer, the chachamim ayrin, the chachamim say bnei shen mitzupin. That the reason is something else. It's because they were covered. What does this mean? So we'll see in the Gemara. Incidentally, this was the last Mishnah in Seder Mayed. And who's the last Tana mentioned in Seder Mayed? Not surprising. It's the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. But either way, Zok to Gemara. The Mishnah is discussing Ketzad Mavir and Al Tairas Azara. Exactly, how did the Taira take place of the Azara? So they would toivel all the kale. But then the Mishnah said they would tell the Oivam, Hizaru, be careful, Shaloi Tegu B'Shulchan. There's one Keli you shouldn't touch. Don't touch the Shulchan. Zokti Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, a different Nosach. Hizaru, they would tell the Oivam, be careful, Shemu Tegu B'Shulchan U'B'Menayr. Don't touch the Shulchan, but Oichit, don't touch the Menayr. Zokti Gemara, Tana, done my time in Loi Tana Menayr. Why did our Tana not say Menayr? So the Gemara explains, Shulchan, Ksiv Beit Tamin. Regarding the Shulchan, it says Tamin. V'Nosato Ala Shulchan, Lechem Panim, Lefanai Tamid. You know what that means? That means Lechem Panim always has to be on the Shulchan. And the Shulchan always has to be in the northern part of the Heichal. You never want to have a situation where you have to remove the Shulchan to go ahead and be Metairit. Because it's supposed to be their Tamid. So, Hizaru, be extra careful regarding the Shulchan. Because if you're Metamid the Shulchan, we're going to have to remove the Shulchan. We're not going to have a choice. And we're going to violate the Halach of Tamid. So we don't want to have to do that. So it's for that reason, be careful with the Shulchan. Oh, but Menorah likes it, but Tamid. But by the Menorah, it doesn't say Tamid. And because it doesn't say Tamid by the Menorah, so it's for that reason, by the Menorah, it's not going to be necessary. So if the Metamid the Menorah, it's not such a big deal. You'll move the Menorah, why is that a problem? It doesn't say Tamid anyways. Now Rashi right away jumps. And there's a long Rashi in the Gemara, first Rashi in the Gemara, and it starts with the word Koloimar. And we know whenever Rashi says Koloimar, Rashi's bothered with a kasha. There's something about the Pashup Shan in this Gemara that you almost can't read. What can you read? It doesn't say Tamid by the Menorah. It says V'ata Tetzavas Bnei Yisrael V'yikhu Eilech Hashem in Zay Yizach Kosses Lamar Lahalo Yisner Tamid. It says the same word Tamid. By the Shulchan it says V'nasata Allah Shulchan Lechem Ponim Lefanai Tamid. And by the Menorah it says Lahalo Yisner Tamid. It's a freak Rashi Koloimar. How do you even read the Gemara? It's Ayin Rashi. Rashi says what the Pshat. It says Tamid by the Menorah means something else. But the bottom line is the Tamid of the Shulchan means that it always had to be Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan. Shulchan always has to be where it needs to be. So therefore they said be careful with the Shulchan. You don't want to be Tamid the Shulchan. You don't have to remove the Shulchan. Oh, but the Menorah, if you're gonna have to remove the Menorah, it's not such a big deal. Okay, so the Tana, the Braisa, so that says they used to tell the Olam Hizaru in the Shulchan and the Menorah, why they say Hizaru in the Menorah? There's no din Tamid. So the Gemara says, sure doesn't say Tamid. It says the Menorah had to be facing the Shulchan. It's as if it says Tamid. Why? Because the Menorah had to be facing the Shulchan, and the Shulchan always had to be in the Tzafin part, which meant that the Menorah also always had to be there. If
the menorah and the shulchan have to be facing each other, and there's a din tamid on the shulchan, by extension, there would be tamid, din tamid by the menorah. So the idach, the tana that says that there is no din tamid by the menorah, I doesn't it say noichach ulekvayu lamakam udas? It's just coming to tell me where the menorah had to be, but it doesn't mean that the laws of the menorah and the laws of the shulchan are the same. And just because there's a din tamid as it relates to the shulchan doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a din tamid as it relates to the menorah as well. Either way, so the Mishnah said that after Yontif, they used to be mitar all the kelim and nazar. They would teufel it for Oymun Lahen, and then they would specifically tell the people that came to be Oyler Regel, Hizar, be careful, Shnoloi Tigu b'Shulchan. No one touched the Shulchan. Because if you touch the Shulchan, you're going to have to be mitar it, and we don't want to have to be mitar the Shulchan, because we're going down a slippery slope. We may end up violating the law of Tamid, and that's not something that we want to do. Freit the Gemara. It's clearly implied from the Mishnah that the Shulchan was a Dover HaMekabel Tum. It's a Keli that's Mekabel Tum. Therefore, he's Zar, Ushalay Tigav Shulchan. Because you'll have to violate the law of Tum. Is that true? V'tepikli freik the Gemara, the Kliyesa Asur L'Nachasu. The Shulchan was made of wood. Vasisa Shulchan Atzei Shitim. It was made of Shitim Maltz. Right? It was made of wood. If it was made of wood, it's a Kliyetz. Now, it's a Kliyetz HaAsur L'Nachas. Shulchan wasn't moved. You stay in one place. Now, to be clear, you could have moved it. It wasn't that heavy, but at the same time, Lamaise wasn't moved. It had its place. It was din tamid. It didn't move. So if it didn't move, it's a kli eitz ha'asur l'nachas. And here's the rule. The chol kli eitz ha'asur l'nachas le'metama. If there's a kli eitz that's asur l'nachas, its purpose is to stay in one place. The halachas is not mekabel tum. My time, what's the makarta? There's dumi desak. It's learned out. Rashi says what the exact rush is. But we're makish wood to a sack as it relates to the laws of Tumah. And we learn from there, be'ina masak metal tumal v'rekim, just like a sack is something that can be carried when it's full, can be carried when it's empty. Afkom metal tumal v'rekim. So to wood is metama if it's something that's carrying mal v'rekim, as opposed to kliyetz asur l'nachas. So there the halach is that it's not mekabel tumah. So what's the kasha? Why are we even saying hizaru shalai tigav b'shulchan? Who cares if they touch the shulchan? It's a kliyetz asur l'nachas. It's not mekabel tumah. And for the gemara, hainami metal tumal v'rekim. No, the shulchan was a kliyetz that was metaltal. And it wasn't just metaltal, it was moli v'reikam. Kid reish lokish, like reish lokish, atom reish lokish. Reish lokish said, Maidik, so what's behind the pasuk that says, Allah shulchan atahar. The Torah describes the shulchan as being the shulchan atahar. V'samta oisim shtei mesrei, shtayim arochi, sheisha mareches, al ha-shulchan atahar lefnei Hashem. Mechal shu tame, it sounds like the shulchan could be tame, right? Make sure the shulchan's tar, the pasuk says. Sounds like it could be tame, v'amayk, it's also l'nachasu v'enim akabal tome. So reish lokish asked that same exact question. And he answered, that they used to pick up the shulchan, and they would show the oily regalim lechem upon him, the lechem upon him, and they would tell them, ruuchi baschem lefnei amakim, see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, that when the kohanim would remove the breads from the shulchan, it was exactly the way it was when they put it there. The Amr Rabbi Shul ben Levi, said, Nes Gadol Nasav Lechem Aponim. There was an incredible miracle that happened to Lechem Aponim. Kisiduroi kachsi lukoi. What does that mean? Shenema losum lechem choyim b'yoyim hilacha. Just like when the breads were put on the shulchan, they had just been baked, they were hot out of the oven, they were fresh, they were very, very hot. A week later, when they removed it, they were equally as hot. But what do you see from here? You see that when the Oilei Regel used to come to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Kohanim would lift up the Shulchan and they would show the Oilei Regalim this miracle of the heat of the Lechem upon him. Kisilukai kachsidurai. But the point is that you see that they would move the Shulchan. So if they move the Shulchan, it's not a kliyetz that's asui l'nachas. It was metalto, and they were metalto in mole. So you see that it's something that they used to lift up when it was mole with the lechem upon him. Oh, so if it's a dover metalto, so it comes out, it is a dover mekabel tumah. And because it was a dover mekabel tumah, so it's for that reason they said, Hizaru shalai tigu b'shulcham. Zok the Gemara, noch hakasha. So we just said that the Mishnah said that when the Yidden were oil regal, they would particularly tell everybody, be careful, just stay away from the Shulchan. Why? We don't want to be Metama the Shulchan. You're Metama the Shulchan, we'll have to be Taibu the Shulchan. Taibu the Shulchan means you're going to have to violate the laws of Tomei. Implied from the Mishnah was that the Shulchan was Mekabel Tomei. And the Gemara had a problem with that. The Gemara's problem was the Shulchan was made of wood. So if it was made of wood, it's a Kli Eitz. It was also L'Nachas. Kli Eitz also L'Nachas is not Mekabel Tomei. The Gemara said a Teretz that when the Yidden came to be Oyler Regal, they were Magbi in the Shulchan, Ruchi Baschem Lufnei Amokim, so it comes that they were Metaltal it. It wasn't Asu Lenachas, that's why it was Mekabotom. Meaning, the reason the Shulchan was Makabel Toma, Hagamu was Kliyetz, is because they used to be Magbiyah to the Oile Regalim. Had they not been Magbiyah to the Oile Regalim, we would have assumed that it's a Kliyetz, Ha'asu Lenachas, and it wouldn't be Makabel Toma. The Gemara is asking on that Hanocha, on that premise, that really the Shulchan is a Kliyetz, Ha'asu Lenachas, Narvas, being that they were Magbiyah, so it's for that reason that it was Makabel Toma. Freit the Gemara, why are we even looking at the Shulchan as a Kliyetz, Ha'asu Lenachas? What was the Shulchan made of? It was made of wood, it was made of Atzei Shittim, but at the same time, Vitzipisa is a Zav. It was coated with gold. So if it was coated with gold, shouldn't the Tzipui of Zav give it a din, not of a wooden keli, of a golden keli? And by a golden keli, it's Nidah Zadin. Kli Zava Asu Lenachas is not Mekabel Toma. That's a Chiddush and Kliyetz. There is no such halacha when it comes to Kli Zav. Break the Gemara of a Tepik Limi Shum Tzipui. What's this whole sugi over here in Chagiga Daf Chavav? The last Daf of Seydim Mayid. What are we talking about? We're discussing this Shaila. This question of the Shulchan, why was it even a davar mekabel tumah l'chayr? It's a kliyeh, it's a asu lenachas. No, it's not. It was mitzupezav. And if it was mitzupezav, so it's not asu lenachas. We should look at it as a kliyeh. Meaning, even if it is asu lenachas, it's still mekabel tumah. Because it's made of metal. It's made of gold. As I feit the Gemara. And the truth is a Mishnah that says mefurish that if you have wood and you coat it with something else, we look at its tumah v'tayra status not as what its core is, but rather what its coding is. We look at the chitzonius, not the pnimius, ironically. We learned in a Mishnah, and this Mishnah, not shockingly, is a Masechtas Kelim. It's Perichah Beis a Masechtas Kelim. Hashulchan v'adulfiki, these are, shulchan's a shulchan, pretty straightforward, and a dulfiki is a certain type of chish, nifchasu, that part of it got chopped up, meaning it's chaser, it's missing, or part of it was coated with marble. V'shayimem makam anachas koisis, and there's a little bit of wood where, a little place where you can put kaisos, sadalach is tame, this keli is going to be a makabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says that the place that doesn't have shayish has to be a little bit bigger. It has to be makam anachas achatichos. It has to be big enough not just to put cups, but it has to be plates and to put food as well. What's the point? The point is shayish marble is not makabel tumah. We're dealing with a table, let's just pick one case, that was covered with shayish. It was covered with marble. Table is eitz, is makabel tumah. Shayish is marble, is not makabel tumah. So the question is, do we look at it as a makabel tumah, not makabel tumah? So it depends. If the whole thing is covered with marble, it's not makabel tumah, because marble is not makabel tumah. As long as you mishayir a little bit, how little? Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, then the halacha is it is going to be makabel tumah. But what do you see from here? You see that if you take wood and you cover it with marble, we look at it as marble, not as wood. Break the Gemara. Why are you assuming that the shulchan is a kliyetz? It was covered with gold. You should look at it as gold. Maybe there's a difference between good old-fashioned wood and the wood that was used in the Mishkan. The wood that was used in the Mishkan was Atzei Shittim. It was a chashev wood. Maybe something chashev is not bottled to its covering, but a posh the wood is. But the Gemara says, that's really a machlekes ha-meiron. Ha, nichle reish lakish. That's true, quint reish lakish. That's a loishon. But kli ach salgim. Habam din esayam. This is a halacha that the shayish is mevatel the wood. Meaning, wood that's covered with shayish, we look at it as shayish. That's only true for the ach salgim wood. That came from din esayam. Abo, but kli mesamim. But the kli mesamim, which was a more chash of a wood, loy batli. There it's not bottle. Shabbat, that would be a good teretz. Meaning, just like the kli mesamim is not bottle, so too, the atzi shittim is also not bottle. That says that even chashuv that's covered with marble, we look at it as marble. My ikal meimer. So what's the difference between atzei shittim and that wood? V'chitem, you'll tell me a different teretz. Kan betzipui oimed. Kan betzipui she'enei oimed. Maybe the case of the marble is where the person didn't just cover the table with marble, but he hacked the marble into the table. It was oimed. He knocked it in. So because he knocked it in, now it's one chafza. So we look at it based on its chitzainis. We look at it as marble. But the gold that covered the atzei shittim, It wasn't knocked in with nails or anything, or with screws. It was just a coating. So maybe that coating is not enough to be mevatel, the essence of the shulchan, which was wood. And as a result, that's why the Gemara thinks we look at it as a kliyetz. But the Gemara says, Rishlokish actually once asked this question, Rabbi Yochanan. This was his question. That Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that says if you take wood and you cover it with marble, we look at it as marble. Is that only if the tzipui was oimid, only if you knocked it in with nails, or even if you didn't knock it in with nails? B'chayfes levizvizav, is that only true if you cover the rim of the table? meaning the entire table is covered, as long as you cover the top, even if you didn't cover the rim. The Amalani told him, Rabbi Eichanan, it doesn't matter if you knocked it with nails or you didn't knock it with nails. It doesn't matter that what, at the end of the day, once you coat it, we look at it as what you coated it with. So again, long-winded question. The kasha is, in our Mishnah, it's mavur that the shulchan was makabel tumah. And the Gemara says, I don't understand why the shulchan was makabel tumah. It was a kli eitz, asu l'nachas. Kli eitz, asu l'nachas is not makabel tumah. And the Gemara had to give a teretz that used to be makbiyat for the oily regalim. Fake the Gemara. Why are we assuming that the shulchan is kli eitz? The chayr was covered with gold. And if it's covered with gold, we shouldn't look at it as kli eitz. The harai, it's a Mishnah perik chav beza masechtes kalim, where it's mavur that if you have wood and you cover it with marble, we look at the table and the wood as being marble. The marble's not mekabel tumah. This table also wouldn't be mekabel tumah. So what's the difference between the shulchan and the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim and for the Gemara? Ella, you have to say Shani Shulchan. The shulchan of the Mishkan was different. The Rachmana Karya Eitz, because the Torah referred to it as holtz. The Torah referred to it as wood. I mean, even though it was covered with gold, so halachically you could say, oh, it's a gold shulchan. Oh, but we have a pasuk where the pasuk actually referred to the shulchan not as a golden shulchan, but rather as a wooden shulchan. Where's this pasuk? Tachsiv. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel Perik Mem Aleph. The pasuk says Hamizbeach eats. The mizbeach was, it was wood. Shalish amis gavoy was 3 amis tall. V'arkish time was 2 amis long. Amos umiktzayis loy v'arkoy v'kirois of eats. V'yedaber elai zeh hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So you see clearly that we're talking about a shulchan. I'm also talking about eats. Oh, they refer to it as eats. So therefore, it's viewed as wood, and that's why the Gemara assumed it shouldn't be makabel tumah, because it's kliyei sa'asu l'nachas, and the Gemara's teretz was that even though it's kliyei sa'asu l'nachas, they were makbiyat for the Eilu Regalim, and that's why we look at it as being metal tumah l'vireikam, and that's why it's makabel tumah. That's why they had to tell the Eilu Regal, Hizaru, be careful, don't touch the shulchan. Says Zok the Gemara. We just mentioned the pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem Aleph, and the Gemara says you can't go weiter, you can't have two dots, unless we, at the very least, acknowledge the very obvious kasha in this brisa, and in this pasuk, and that is the pasuk began Hamizbeach Eitz Shalish Amis Gavoya V'Arkish Shnayim Amos U'Miktzay Oisav Loi V'Arkoy V'Kirois of Eitz V'Yedaber Elai Zeh Hashulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. Read the Gemara. Pasuk v'Mizbeach. The pasuk started talking about the Mizbeach V'Sayim B'Shulchan. Then it ended talking about the Shulchan. So which one is it? Are we talking about the Mizbeach, or are we talking about the Shulchan? Hamizbeach V'Chulu. Is it the Mizbeach or is it the Shulchan? Rabbi Yechon Reish Lachish, who argued so often in Shas. But over here they were in unison. They both said the same shat. They said, as much as HaMikdash came, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam. The Mizbeach was Mechaper. Oh, but Achshav, now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what's Mechaper? Shulchan Reish Al Adam Mechaper Al Adam. Today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so what's Mechaper? The Shulchan. And that's the point. Shulchan Doim El Mizbeach. Right? We've been hearing this since we're little kids. It's a Gemara. Where's the Gemara Chagiga? It's a mafurish Gemara. The Gemara says that Hakosov Posach b'mizbeach v'sayim b'shulchan, to teach me that the shulchan is like the mizbeach. Because once upon a time the mizbeach was mechaper. Now we don't have a mizbeach, so today the shulchan's mechaper. Now we know how the mizbeach was mechaper once upon a time. Karbanos, avoida, dveikis, kirvis alikim, all the dvarim niskovim of karbanos, reich nichayach. How is the shulchan mechaper b'zman hazeh? Zagrashi, two words. Bahachnosas Orchem. Toisvis, one line. The Godel Koyach Haligima Kid Isabah Godas Chel. Same thing. Hachnosas Orchem. That a person that invites someone to his table and he's Mahanim, he does Chesin on his Shulchan, that's what's Mechaper, just like the Mizbeach was Mechaper once upon a time. So just to segue from this very, very last Gemara into one raid bite, and that is something that we talked about when we learned Masechtas Megillah. It's something that's Nogeya today's daf, and it's something that's very much in Yonah D'Yoyma, as we're in Mishenichnas Adar Beis, where it's obviously Marbe B'Simcha. And that is, it's Yodua that the Rokeach, one of the Rishonim, said that one of the places that the Torah mentions all the Yomim Tovim is in Parshas Emor. Right? On Yontif, we read Parshas Re'eh, Aser Ta'aser, Kol HaBechor. We also read Parshas Emor. Why Parshas Emor? Because you have all the Yomim Tovim, literally every single Yontif in the Torah is mentioned in Parshas Emor. It's in the second half of Parshas Emor. The beginning of Parshas Emor talks about mitzvahs related to the Kayanim, Emor, V'amarta, L'hazuk, D'ilma, L'aktanim, V'chulu, V'chulu, V'chulu. And then the second half of the Parsha is all about the Yomim Tovim. After the Torah mentions the Yomim Tovim, so the Torah mentions two parshias. The first is the parsha of the Menorah. The second is the parsha of the Shulchan, the parsha of the Lechem Aponim. Literally, we go from the Manyedu Dereseichem to Pesukas Eishavti as Bnei Yisrael to Vayedaber Hashem Amoshele Metzavis Bnei Yisrael V'yikcho Eilech Hashem Menzayich Zoch Kosis Lamor Lahalis Ner Tomin. And then the next parsha, V'lokach to Soiles V'afisa Oysa Shtei Mesre Chaloi Shnei Esroinim Yachalo Echos Pesukim that we had in today's da. So we go literally from the parsha of the Mayadim to the parsha of the Menorah to the parsha of the Lechem Aponim. So the Rekeach said, and the Bnei Yisrael quotes this in Chanukah, that the reason the Torah mentioned these two mitzvahs, because in these two mitzvahs there's a remes to another two Yomim Tovim. Not Yomim Tovim on a deraisa level, but two Yomim Tovim midrabanon. And that is the Yontif of Chanukah and the Yontif of Purim. Chanukah and Purim are the two Yomim Tovim that we have not midrabanon, but the two Yomim Tovim that we have midrabanon. So said the Rekeach, that to be meramis to the Yontif of Chanukah, right after the parasha of the Mayadim, Vayedabra Hashem al Moshe Lemer, Tzaves b'nei Yisrael, V'yikhu eilecha Hashem min Zayezoch, Kosis lamor, Lahalois ner tom. And then we have the parasha of the Lechem Aponim, to be meramis to the Yontif of Purim. So the mitzvah of Chanukah is meramis to the Yontif of the mitzvah of the menorah is meramis to the yontif of Chanukah, and the mitzvah of the shulchan and the lechem aponim, that's meramis to the yontif of Purim. When you think about it, at first glance, bishleima, the menorah has a shaychus to Chanukah, that's something that we obviously understand. But what's the shaychus between the lechem aponim and Purim? That's something that l'chura, at first glance, is tanbir. And the pashup shad is, because on Purim, there's a mitzvah of mishta, there's a mitzvah of simcha, there's a mitzvah of chay vinish lepsume, adalo yoda, there's a mitzvah to be marpa. Marba besuda, and the lechem aponim is yud beis chalois, and the lechem aponim represents a tremendous riboy of shefa, of lechem, of bread, of suda. So therefore, merumas and symbolized inside the lechem aponim is going to be the yontav of Purim. That's the pashup shah. But when we learned Masechtas Megillah, we spoke out an epic chasam sofer, and the chasam sofer said pshat in this rakeach, based on a Gemara in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara over there is going through the psukim in the beginning of the Megillah, specifically Gam Vashti Amalka Osasa Mishtei Nasha. So Vashti Amalka, just like her husband, she also made a suda. She made a suda, and this suda was for all the women. And the pasuk says that Achashverosh had called for Vashti and wanted Vashti to appear in front of Achashverosh. Vashti refused to come. The Gemara says, why? And Achashverosh got very, very angry. And he wasn't sure what to do. So first he went to the Talmid Chachamim. He went to all the Chachamim, the members of the Sanhedrin that were there, and he asked them, what do I do? I asked my wife to come, and she's publicly humiliating me. She's literally not listening to what I want. I need a little bit of an answer. And they refused to say. They felt that, Oyliyim Agid, Oyliyim Lo Yagid, and as a result, it doesn't make sense to say anything. So then Achashverosh went to his next best chevra, Vakor Avelov. So he turned to his advisors. He went to Karshna, Shesar, Admasa, Sarshish, Meres, Marsin, Amemuchan. Who are they? These were the Shiva, Sarei, Paras, Umadai. They were the Roye, Pnei, Amelech, Hayoishvin, Rishon, Amalchus. These were the board of directors. These were the people that were Yoishvin, Rosh. So he turns to them and he says, what do I do? I'm not sure what to do. Vazolichtan. And the Gemara says, Memuchan, he was the head yet. He's the seventh one that's mentioned. He was Kofatz Beroish. And we all know what he told Achashverosh to do, which was go and kill Vashti, which set the stage for Esther to now become the bride, for Esther to be married to the most powerful person in the world, which eventually would lead to the Purim miracle, which would lead to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. And of course, the rest is history. But it all begins with Vashti refusing to appear in front of Achashverosh. Achashverosh is torn. He's not sure how to handle it. He turns to the Shiva Roye Pnei HaMelech, and the seventh one, Memuchan, he's the one that gives him an Eitzah. Zok de Gemara. This story, as depicted in the Torah of Iksav the Megillah, is what was happening in the world at that very time. But that's what was happening benigla. But Pnimius, there was something else happening simultaneously. Vakor Avelov, says the Gemara, Shesar ad Masa Sarshish. Am Rab Levi said, Ko Pasik Zal Shum Karbonis Nam. The Pasik is a remes to all the Karbonis. Karshna. Am Rabalachi Shar Sapnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As this was happening, as Achashverosh turns to the Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech, as Vashti refused to come,
And as Haman is getting really, really upset, he's getting really, really angry. Chamas HaMelech. He's getting really, really upset. So as this is taking place in Shemayim, there's a tumult, there's a gerita. Amar Malachi Hasharos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachi Hasharos turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They realized that this was an opportune time, that maybe if Vashti gets taken out, this will be an Eitzah for Esther to come in, and that's going to be the Revach Vatzalah, and this is where the Yeshua is going to come. So they turn to the Eibush, they say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Klum Ekrivu Lefanecha Karban Eishana, Kederach Shekrivu Yisrael Lefanecha. Tell me, the Umay Yisrael Olam, did they bring Karbanis and a Beis HaMikdash and a Holy Temple the way the Yidden did? Sheisar, Klum Ekrivu Lefanecha Shnei Toirin. Did they bring birds, Shnei Toirim? Admasa, Klum Banu Lefanecha Mizbeach Adama, Tarshish, Klum Mirsu B'dam Lefanecha, did they mix the blood? Marsna, Klum Mirsu B'menachas Lefanecha, Memuchan, Klum Echinu Shulchan Lefanecha. Did any of this happen? And the Eibishter Kinnira was Mekabel, the Taina of the Malachi Asharis. And he said, Maskim, 100%, Nicham Tano. And Vashti is taken out with the advice of Memuchan. Esther ends up coming in her place, and the seeds were just planted for Gulas and Shei Yisrael. Says the Heilige Chassam Sofer that the Gemara is mavur that the names of all these Sarim that were Roy Pnei HaMelech was a remez to Tainas that were going on in the Pnimius of the world. Tainas that were going on by the Malachi Asharis. Ultimately, which one of the Shiva Roy Pnei HaMelech was the one that sealed the fate L'toiv for the Yidden? It was Memuchan. What was going on the Pnimius with Memuchan? Klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha. It's mashma said the Chassam Sofer that the taina of klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha, that was the ultimate taina. That was the taina that lemaisa caused that the yidid should be saved, that Vashti should be killed, and that Esther should end up being the queen, and everything should play out the way it was supposed to play out. So it comes out, what was the schus that the yidin had for the hatzala of Purim? It was the schus of the shulchan. He says, that's pshat in the Rekeach. The Rekeach says that after the parasha of the Miyadim and parasha of the Emor, you have two parashas in the Torah. You have the parasha of the Menorah, and then you have the parasha of the shulchan. You have the parasha of the Lechem Aponim. What's the pshat? So the Rekeach said it's a hemshech to the parasha of the Miyadim, because this is a remez to the two Yomim Toivim that the Yidin had all been with the Rabbanim. The Menorah is a remez to Chanukah, and the Lechem Aponim and the shulchan is a remez to the Purim. Over the Shalos Vos, hot the Lechem Aponim and the shulchan to Ton mit Purim. So it's a ribo, it's a suda, because it was in the schus of the shulchan that the yidden had the whole hatzala. It was klum echinu shulchan lefanecha. The whole hatzala came from the shulchan. And if the whole hatzala came from the shulchan, his mirum is in the shulchan, is the nesa purim. Half of a fell. But the emes is adayin tzarech bir. The Chassam Sofer leaves us hanging a little bit, because the Chassam Sofer doesn't explain why was it the shulchan. It wasn't the mizbeach. It wasn't the tmidim. It wasn't the shnei toirim. It wasn't the fact that they were mishing dam. It was the shulchan. For some reason, it was all in the shulchan. Why the shulchan? Abedivrei Chassam Sofer, we know, are aniyim b'makom echad, and they're ashirim b'makom acher. And sometimes you have to be able to put the puzzle together to be able to see the whole picture. And then this is the Chassam Sofer, and one of his drushes on Zayin Adar, it's drush Zayin, and the new drush is Chassam Sofer, it's in middle of a drush, he asks this question. And the Chassam Sofer says a teretz. His teretz is a dove nifla. It's up to Chassam Sofer. He says, you know why? He says, all the malachim were coming with tainas that the Yidden, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, they brought karbanis. Klum hekhin, didn't they bring the karin? Didn't they bring shnei tairin? Didn't they bring menachis? Weren't they memaris the dam? They were coming with things that happened in the Avar, things that happened when there was a Beis HaMikdash. But right now there was no Beis HaMikdash. And because right now there was no Beis HaMikdash, so those chusim were not going to be matzal. It wasn't going to help them for right now. He says, you know what? The Maluch of Memuchan said, he said, Klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha, hayoim, Klai Yisrael, today, they're still being mechin shulchan lefanecha. This is something that's going on today. Like the Gemara says in Chagigah of Zayin Amar Aleph, where the Gemara says, Posach b'mizbeach, v'sayim b'shulchan, to teach us, b'zman she Beis HaMikdash kayim mizbeach mechaper. Oh, but achshav, that is no Beis HaMikdash shulchan is shalada mechaper. And that's what the Malachim was saying. Look at Klai Yisrael. Once upon a time, we had a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. Oh, but afal pikin, the Yid has a shulchan. And look at the chasadim. Look at all the tzedakas that he's doing on his shulchan. And it was that schus. So you want to know why it was the shulchan? It's not the mile of the shulchan necessarily. It was the fact that right now they had a shulchan. They didn't have karbanis. They didn't have dam.
They didn't have menachis. A shulchan, yedi yid had a shulchan. And every yid has the ability to do chesed on his shulchan. And because the yid were constantly doing chesed with their shulchan, that was the schus, that's what was ma'ayra memuchan. So memuchan goes ahead, and in this world he goes and he says, yeah, kill Vashti. And he thinks he's an ibuchochim. He's the one that figured it all out. It has nothing to do with him. His strings are being pulled. Leif Sarim Malachim Biyad Hashem. What's going on in Shemayim is the Yidina. There's a tremendous schus that's mamish is being boiled in Shemayim. Look at the shulchan. Look at the table of a Yid. Look at what goes on. Look at all the chesed that takes place on the shulchan of a Yid. And as a result, that's the schus, and that's what's ma'ir Haman to go ahead and for Haman to do his thing. And Zokhtach Sam Sleifer, that's why it's in the shulchan that there's a remes at the rekech to the Yontav of Purim. Because ultimately it was because of the shulchan. It was because of the shulchan that Klai Yisrael had that song. Of Purim. To appreciate this just a little bit more, there's one very important Maariv Makom. There's Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya is in Parshas Truma. The Shulchan, the Pasuk says, Vasisa Shulchan Atzei Shitim. Zokt Rabbeinu Bechaya, game changer. Vasisa Shulchan Atzei Shitim. The word Shitim, he says, is Rosh Tevis. It's an acronym. Shalom, Toiva, Yeshua, and Mechila. Shin Tes Yod Men. It's Shalom, it's Toiva, it's Yeshua, and it's Mechila. Zokt Rabbeinu Bechaya, because when a person has a Shulchan, and he invites people, and he shares with other people, that Shulchan is Shalom, Toiva, Yeshua, Mechila. All the Yeshuas in the world comes from that Shulchan. And then he brings a Dover Nifla. He says that I heard there was a minig that there were chsidim in Tsarfas. There were chsidim in France. That when they died, they were mitzava, that their coffin should be made from their shulchan. Lahoyrais, to show, ki ha'odam la'yisam u'ma bi'adai. That in the next world, you don't take anything with you. V'lo yuvenu ba'amalai, all the, everything you have, that stays back here. The only thing you take with you is kimat tztaka sh'asa b'chayev. It's only the tztaka that he did. V'atoyva shu meite v'ashulchanai. And all the toiv that he does on his shulchan. V'lo kach amru razal, says Rabbeinu B'chayev, that's what the Gemara means in Brachas Nundalad Amid Beis. Hamaruch al shulchanai. He says, Shulchan is Shalom, Toiva, Yeshua, Mechila. The Chassidim in Tsarfas, they used to make their coffin from their Shulchan. Because they understood the Schus, the Koyach of a Shulchan. That when a person is mated with another Yid, he invites him into his house. He literally brings him into his Shulchan, onto his table. From there, it's Avasisa Shulchan Atzei Shitim. It's Shalom, it's Toiva, it's Yeshua, it's Mechila. The Schus that the Yidin had for the Purim story was the Shulchan, Zoktach Sam Sofer. Because the Shulchan is something they had even when they were in Paras, they were in Madai, they were in Shushan, they were in Golas. The Yidden throughout Golas, they didn't have Karbanas. Oh, but the Shulchan was something they always had, and that's why it wasn't the Shulchan from Amal. It was the Shulchan that they had with them in Golas. You know, it's Mavur from this Chsam Sofer. That what's Chus that the Yidden have for the Purim Hatzalah? It was the Shulchan. It was all the Chesed that the Yidden did on their Shulchan. Throughout Masechtas Megillah, one of the themes of the Raid Bites were that the Purim story wasn't just about a gzeira that was somehow prevented, but it was all a hechatimtza to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. Haman was the one that was fighting against the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So was Achashverosh. So were the Aseres B'nei Haman. Achashverosh tells Esther, I'll give you whatever you want, at Chatzi HaMalchus, but I'm not going to give you the Beis HaMikdash. And the Venahapachula Yehudim was that Esther marries Achashverosh, has a son, Daryavish, who's a Jew, and he's the one that gives the Yidden permission to go ahead and to build a second Beis HaMikdash. The Purim Yeshua wasn't just about being saved from Gzeira. It's in the historical context what caused and what brought about the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Everybody knows. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. It was Avodah Zarah, it was Gilei Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The whole schus the Yidden had for a second Beis HaMikdash, the whole schus the Yidden had to get away from the Gzeir of Lahashmid Laharigul La'abid was the Shulchan. It was the fact that the Yidden sit on a Shulchan and it's Shalom, Toiv, Yeshua, Mechila. That's what the schus was. And as long as the Yidden kept that, the Yidden had a second Beis HaMikdash. But then hundreds of years later, there was Sinas Chinam. And once there was Sinas Chinam, the Yidden didn't have the Shulchan anymore. Then already people were judgmental. You could sit on my table, you can't sit on my table. Then the world was a very different place. And they lost Shalom and Toiva and Yeshua and Mechila. And they went back to that matziv where Achashverosh is looking at the Shivaroy Pnei HaMelech and he's telling them, Nu, what should we do? And in Shemayim there was a tumult. and the malachim were coming together, and they said, but this and but that, of the malach that 500 years earlier had said, klum echinu shulchan lefanecha, he was quiet. There was a haskateger, rachmanolos, he couldn't say anything. He couldn't talk, because it wasn't true. Because at that point, there was sinas chinam. So what happened? That Beis HaMikdash that the Yidden got, in the schus of the Shulchan, in the schus of Shalim Tov Yeshua Mechiva, that Beis HaMikdash was lost. I believe that's the rest of the story.